and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. You know the suffering of Job. You know James says that there was great patience in the life of Job. He says that in chapter 5 of James. The Lord had a good end intended through the trials that He brought upon Job. This didn't happen by chance. This was the Lord's design. And you remember what happened to him and the calamity that befell him. And the Sabaeans raided him and took away his sheep and his camel and his donkeys. And then his children were having a party in one of the others, the eldest son's home, and the wind blew across the prairie and the four corners of the building collapsed and it fell on top of the children and all of his children were dead. And this happened in succession. One after another, one servant comes to Job and said, this is what happened and I alone am left. And another servant come. We've never experienced that. None of us in here has experienced what Job went through in this short amount of time. But you notice how Job responded. Look at verse 20 of chapter 1. Job arose. What does that tell you right there? He was devastated. He was on his face. Can you imagine the news coming to him? One after another. He was pummeled. He was melted. His knees were knocking and he shook and he was down on the ground. He was a distraught man. And he arose and he tore his robe and shaved his head and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Is that your response to your trials, beloved? So the first thing that you think about when a trial comes upon you in your life, worship. My duty, my responsibility, my privilege, my joy is to worship the true and living God. Notice what Job said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. How many Christians today who have the full revelation of God's Word can learn a lesson from Job from this first chapter of how we are to understand the trials that come upon us in this life? I didn't say it's easy. You need to learn. You need to be prepared, beloved, because trials will come. Job also says in chapter 5 that man who is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. He says again in chapter 14 that man is born into trouble like the sparks fly upward. You have a bonfire and you see all the sparks flying upward. Man is born unto all that. All kinds of fiery trials that test the genuineness of our faith as believers. And it also comes upon the unbeliever too. There are no respecter of persons. Trials come upon all of us. But they are meant for the believer to test and strengthen our faith, to cause us to endure for greater service in the kingdom of our God who has redeemed us through the blood of the Lamb. Let me ask you this question.
As we looked at verse 1 last Lord's Day, as we looked at what James says about being a servant, a slave of God, bought by God, purchased by the Lamb of God through His blood, would you not willingly go through trials because you are the purchased possession of Jesus Christ? Think about our theology. That all things come not by chance, but by the hand of our Heavenly Father. And if all things come not by chance, but by His hand, the trial that comes upon me is a trial orchestrated by my God for His glory and my good. The one who has been bought and redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, who suffered in my place the just, eternal, infinite wrath of God against my sin. Will I not willingly, joyfully go through the trial which God sends upon me that I might be matured as a believer, that I might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? You see, the problem with many believers today in going through trials is they're not prepared in their mind. They don't understand trials. Because you hear all of the phonies on TV telling you that if you had enough faith and if God really loved you, you wouldn't go through trials. Well, that's a bunch of heresy. That's blasphemy. Because God has ordained to send trials upon His people. Jesus suffered tribulation. He told His disciples, "You have been with me in my troubles." Parosmos is the term there in the Greek. All kinds of troubles that I have endured. Troubles that come outward that affect me inwardly. Troubles inwardly that affect me outwardly. That's what James deals with here, beloved. And he tests the genuineness of our faith as he did with the believers at this time. They were suffering great persecution. And James tells them, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James begins here by addressing those as his brothers. James is not aloof to suffering. He suffered greatly himself. He was involved with them in their suffering. He understood it. He had experienced it himself in Jerusalem. He understood. He knew what trials and suffering were about. And he is telling his brethren to count it all joy. This here is not a suggestion that James gives. It's a command. It's in the imperative mood. He commands us to count it all joy. To think of it all joy. And it's something when he says count it all, think of it as joy, is something that you must be prepared to do. And if you're going to be prepared to do it, beloved, you need to think beforehand about the trials that will come upon you. He says, notice, when you fall into various trials. Not if, when. They're going to come upon you. And as I said last Sunday, death and taxes and troubles come to all of us. They come in many different shapes. They come in many different forms. And the only way that you're going to be prepared to count it all joy is if you understand the result of the trial, the end result, the aim. It's called the telos, James speaks here. What God has in mind through this trial. He says, look in James chapter 5. Look at verse 10. We'll start at verse 10. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Now notice something here. Look at the prophets as an example. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 and Romans 14 that these things were written for our examples. They were written for our learning, for our admonishment. So when we want to be prepared to learn how to suffer, we need to go to the Word of God and understand it as we see the saints of old enduring the trials and what God had in store for them as an end result. Notice what he says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end. Notice that. We have seen the end that God intended for Job. Job didn't see it. We saw it. We can fast forward and we can see from the beginning to the end in the book of Job. Job didn't, he was experiencing those things firsthand by increments. He didn't know the end intended by the Lord. We have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The Lord had a good end intended for Job. Job was humbled. Job was a man as he came through this trial. He was delivered by God through the trial. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, that no temptation or parosmos, the temptation, the trial, has overtaken you, except that which is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you are able, but with through the temptation, through this trial, will always provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear up under it. God provides for us. And if you go back and you read the book of Job in the end chapters, and you find out that the Lord blessed him more in the end of his life than at the beginning of his life. He was the richest man of the earth and of the east at that time. And the Lord multiplied his riches. The Lord greatly blessed him in the end. And the Lord humbled Job, that Job knew his place. Do we not, beloved, need to know our place before the Lord? Do we not, as the people of God, need to know how to live, how to move, how to have our being? Do we need, as the people of God, don't we need to know how to worship Him? How to praise Him? Don't we need to understand that all of my life is not about me? But if I'm bought with a price by Jesus Christ, I am to glorify Him in my body and soul, which are God's. We need to learn that. We need to learn that as the people of God. And so the apostle tells us, or so James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Greek term, peri means around, and piptos is a trial, and it means a trial that surrounds you on all sides. It swallows you up. It's like being sucked into a well or quicksand, and you have it all around you, and you see no way out. It's like Jonah in the belly of the fish, and he's all engulfed in seawater and seaweed, and all this stuff's going on in his life. It's all over him. He sees no way of escape. But yet he continues to persevere. That's often what happens. And the falling also implies that it's something that comes upon you suddenly. You didn't expect it. You're walking along like the Good Samaritan. He was overtaken by thieves. Didn't expect it. It came upon him. It pummeled him. It knocked him to the earth. Job didn't expect this. Job didn't expect his servants to come and say, hey, everything that you have is taken from you. And all your kids are dead too. And all you have left are four servants and a wife that says, curse God and die. Job never expected that when he woke up that morning.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerclus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.